Welcome to the Keynote Podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Colin Urquhart.
Turn to Job chapter 11. There's some wonderful verses here which are right at the heart of how to be confident. That's what the Lord wants to talk to us about this morning, how our confidence is to be in Him. He wants us to be a confident people. It's one thing to be confident while you're here. It's another thing to maintain that confidence when you're not here. Some of you going back to your home situations or to other places for the next few weeks, and you want to maintain that confidence. You want to actually see that confidence increasing. So here in verse 13 we read, Yet if you devote your heart to Him and stretch out your hands to Him, which is another way of saying you pray, if you put away the sin that is in your hand and allow no evil to dwell in your tent, then you will lift up your face without shame. You will stand firm and without fear. You will surely forget your trouble, recalling it only as waters gone by. Life will be brighter than noonday, and darkness will become like morning. You will be secure because there is hope. You will look about you and take your rest in safety. You will lie down with no one to make you afraid, and many will court your favor. What great verses. There's all kinds of riches in Job. If you extract them and take them to heart. Now, of course, all that we do and here, the speaker is talking about what we can do to become those people of confidence who stand firm with faith. All that is a response to God Himself. If you think for a moment of God as your Father, that shouldn't be difficult. You know Him as your Father. He wants His children to be confident. Those of you who have children know that when you have children, you want them to be confident. When they start to go to school and things like that, and they're no longer under your tender care all the time, you want them to have confidence. And sometimes things happen at school to undermine their confidence. And then you have to sort of sort the issue out. But it's part of your love for your children, and those of you who are not yet married and have children, you will discover this. It's part of your love for your children that you want them to be confident. You don't want them to be afraid. You don't want them to be afraid of others. You don't want them to be afraid of going to school or afraid of anything. You want them to be confident. So as the Father looks upon us as His children today, He wants us to be confident. Now, what the speaker here is saying is that there are certain things that undermine our confidence. Certain things build up confidence, and other things undermine confidence. So let's just go through these verses and see what he's saying. If you devote your heart to Him. Now that's going to build up confidence, isn't it? Yes. The more you devote yourself to the Lord, who is the Almighty as well as your Father, then the greater your confidence will be, because you will realize that no matter what situation you're in, where you go, where God sends you, you are not trusting in yourself, but you're trusting in someone who is so much greater, infinitely greater than you are. So if you devote your heart to Him, it's not just a question of, well, this is a difficult situation, so I'm going to trust God. No, it's a question of devoting your heart to Him. That means that you're living in a relationship of love with Him, knowing that it doesn't matter what situation you go into, nothing can separate you from that love. That love is always consistent, it's always the same, it's got nothing to do with your emotions, your feelings. God's love never, ever changes. So if you devote yourself to Him, you're going to be confident. Amen? Then he says, and stretch out your hands to Him. As I commented as we were reading the scripture, that means that you are praying. The Jewish way of praying was to stretch out your hands like this and to actually lift your eyes to heaven, like Jesus did before the tomb of Lazarus, before he was restored to life. I, you know, sometimes you hear people who are leading meetings saying, let us bow our heads in prayer. I say, no, let's not bow our heads in prayer. Let's lift our eyes in prayer. Let's be expectant. There is a time to bow humbly before the Lord when you are having to put things right with Him or when you are seeking Him in some particular way. But God wants us to pray with confidence. So if we're devoted to Him in love, and There's only two people that know whether you're devoted to Him in love or not. One is Jesus and the other is you. Yes. Nobody else can really know how devoted you are to Him. So you can't con Him. You can't fool the Lord. He knows if you really love Him or not. So if you devote your heart to Him in love, then you'll be confident. Stretch out your hands to the one who you know loves you, and you will be confident. You'll be confident that He hears you, and if you know that He hears you, you know that He gives you whatever you ask in prayer. Confident that He, out of His great love for you, is concerned for you, knows all about every situation in which you're placed. He is there not only with you, but living within you by His Spirit to guide you through, to lead you through whatever situation you're in. We are never on our own. Jesus had a very lonely ministry in one sense, because nobody could really share in the things that He was doing, especially when it came to the passion and the cross. And yet He said, I am not alone, the Father is always with me. And this is true for us, isn't it? We are never alone, the Lord is always with us. His Spirit is always within us. We are always living in Christ Jesus. So devoting your heart to the Lord builds confidence. Stretching out your hands to Him in prayer is the outworking of that confidence. Then in verse 14, if you put away the sin that is in your hand and allow no evil to dwell in your tent, sin undermines confidence. Jesus says, if you love me, you will obey my commands. So we know that obeying Him out of love, that is the outworking, if you like, of our confidence in Him. But sin is choosing to please ourselves rather than to please God. Amen? So you can do that, and you know that God will forgive you and be merciful towards you, but actually the sin undermines your confidence, because at that point you're trusting in yourself, your focus is on yourself and not in Him. Praise God, when we make mistakes like that, when we do sin against Him, He does forgive us, He does restore us. There's always that way back of repentance. And the important thing is that when you come back, you're stronger than you were before, because you have learned the lesson that came from that area of disobedience, whatever it was. And allow no evil to dwell in your tent. Well, not all of us dwell in tents these days, but in your home, in your place where you are, you don't want to let any negative influence anywhere near you. This is talking really about creating the right kind of atmosphere in which you're going to live. You want to live in a faith atmosphere. You see, what you have here is a faith atmosphere. It's a love atmosphere, but it's something that is created for you. You don't have to create it. Just because many of you are going to go away for 3 weeks, the faith atmosphere will still be here. And when you come back, you'll come back into the faith atmosphere. That faith atmosphere is created by a people of faith. It's not the building, but it's the activity of the people that are there. And what this scripture is really saying, don't let anything negative into your tent, into your space, into your house. Keep it as a faith house. Keep it as a love house. Keep it as a righteousness house. Because, you see, if you don't, that will undermine your confidence. Are we all breathing? Then if you lift, then you will lift up your face without shame. When we pray, it's so important that we pray with confidence. Jesus says you will receive whatever you ask in prayer if you believe, if you pray with confidence. Jesus says you will receive whatever you ask in prayer if you believe, but he also says, when you ask, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. Because, you see, when you believe you have received it, you've prayed with confidence. That confidence says, it's mine. It's part of the inheritance that God has given me in Christ Jesus. I'm living in that spacious place in Christ. So I can pray with confidence. I can pray with expectation. I can lift up my face to him without shame because I'm not allowing any sin to dwell in my tent. Are you there? So I can be absolutely confident before him. And praise God, you see, the blood of Jesus washes away all the negatives. So we don't have to think, oh, I can't pray because I've sinned. No, no, the blood of Jesus washes you, cleanses you. It's as if that sin never happened. It's as if that failure never took place. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory. So you then lift up your face. You see, when you pray, you lift up your face to the Lord without shame, because you're cleansed, because you're forgiven. Not because you've been a good boy or a good girl, but because God has provided for you in every conceivable way. So that whatever way in which you failed or messed up, God says, I restore you. And that means he relates to us as if that thing had never happened, whatever it was. So you can lift up your face without shame because Jesus took all your guilt. He took all your shame to the cross. Amen? All your shame went to the cross. Shame is a very, very negative thing. Guilt is very negative, and very negative emotion, isn't it? And God says, no, I've taken all that away. I've taken your sin away. I've taken your guilt away. I've taken your shame away. You don't have to feel ashamed of what you did once you're forgiven for what you did. You see, the devil wants to keep pointing back to the ways in which you sinned, the ways in which you failed, all the inadequate things, to try to make you feel ashamed. Because if you feel ashamed, you will lack confidence. And if you lack confidence, then you won't be stretching out your hands in prayer with faith in the way that God wants. This is his whole purpose. He nags away at you in whatever way he can, the enemy, to try to undermine that confidence, by making you feel ashamed. You just don't come up to the mark. You just don't measure up. You're not obedient enough. You don't pray enough. You don't read the word enough. You are failing. Look at you. Look at those thoughts you have. Look at those attitudes you have. Look, all the time he is wanting to accuse and condemn and undermine that confidence. So praise God, you have the shield of faith with which you quench all those fiery darts, all those things, all those accusations that he fires at you. Always remember that the only reason why the devil attacks you is because he's jealous of you. You have an eternal inheritance that he lost and can never get back. And he can't steal that from you. We have an inheritance that will never perish or fade or spoil in any way. It's kept for us in heaven. So he wants to rob, to steal, to kill, to destroy, but he's not going to do that to you. Amen? Because you have that shield of faith. You say, I'm not listening to your lies. I'm not listening to your accusations. And even if you fail, you know, the enemy can say, huh, you failed again. And my answer to him is, devil, you're absolutely right, I failed. But the big difference between me and you is I'm forgiven and you're not. So goodbye. You see, and if I failed, I'm forgiven. So that means that failure no longer exists. But he lives in continual failure. He is an eternal failure. And the scripture tells us what will happen to him as a consequence at the end when the judgment comes. So praise God, you're not going with him in to the fiery furnace or the pit of hell or anything else. You are heaven bound, praise the Lord. So you can lift up your face without shame, confident. Well, one of the things that, years and years ago, the Lord said to me, He crowns us, right? He crowns us with his love and compassion, Psalm 103. There's all kinds of ways in Scripture in which he crowns us, if you look that up in your concordance. And the thing about a crown is you can only wear it by keeping your head up. If you bow your head, your crown will fall off. You can wear other things on your head and they'll stay there, but a crown won't. If you ever see any newsreel of the coronation of the Queen, you will notice that when she's walking in procession, she has to keep her head up all the time. Bow your head, your crown falls off. So that's good, isn't it? Because it reminds us, I'm crowned, I can keep my eyes, right? I can keep my eyes, my face, lifted. I don't have to bow it in shame. Somebody say hallelujah. So you will stand firm and without fear. Now, of course, you're going to put all this into practice. You're already, I trust, putting it into practice. But you're going to continue to do that even while you're not here during the next few weeks, those of you that are going off for the term break. Now, the great thing here is, you see, you will stand firm without fear. What does fear do? Undermine your confidence. Fear is the opposite of confidence, isn't it? And there's a good acrostic for fear, you know, false expectations appearing real. And nearly all your fears are completely false. You know, you think you're going into something really difficult and you sweat about it, you worry about it, you're concerned about it. At least you used to do that. You don't do that kind of thing now. But you used to do that sort of thing. And then you realize, well, it wasn't nearly as bad as I thought. Why? Because, well, it was only your thoughts about it that made it much worse than the event. See, this is why Jesus says, don't worry about tomorrow. Every day's got enough cares of its own. You worry about tomorrow and you won't be able to cope with today. See, that's the point. You don't have to worry about tomorrow because the Lord is with you to see you through today and the Lord will be with you tomorrow to see you through whatever happens tomorrow. So you can lift your face without shame and you can stand firm without any fear. I mean, I have to do all kinds of things that in the natural I wouldn't choose to do. I don't want to do. But you know that the Lord, if it's what the Lord wants you to do, you know that he will be with you. You know that he will enable you. You know that there'll be nothing to fear. You know, as you know, often I speak and I've spoken at big meetings and there's thousands and thousands of people. One of the questions that I'm often asked when I'm being interviewed is, are you ever afraid when you speak? And I can stand here and honestly say there's never been an occasion when I've been afraid. There could be thousands of people there. You could have all these well-known television people, preachers and so on the front row. And what is there to be afraid of? See, even though, you know, sometimes I stand up, I don't know what I'm going to talk about because God is going to speak through me. There's still nothing to fear if your confidence is in him. If you're doing what he's calling you to do, why be afraid? Because he's not a God. If you fear him, you do not need to fear man. Amen? And you know, if God is calling you to speak, you're not going to dry up. Hello? If he's going to speak through you, you're not going to have to worry about, well, what should I say? The thing is that it's having a confidence in him. Now, you're not called to do what I'm called to do, but you see, you can have the same confidence to fulfill whatever he's calling you to do. If he's calling you to do it, you don't have to be afraid. Amen? Fear is a natural thing, right? It's natural for us to fear. And there's a right, you know, fear is built into our system because sometimes it's a warning signal, you know, of danger. But that's a positive use of fear. We're talking here about a negative fear, which undermines confidence. No. We stand firm in the Lord. There's nothing to be afraid of if you're doing what God is calling you to do. Amen? If you're where he wants you to be, doing what he's wanting you to do. Now, sometimes there's going to be trouble because Jesus promises us that. In the world you will have tribulation or great trouble. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Hallelujah. And he says, you will surely forget your trouble, recalling it only as waters gone by. Some of you, when you were small, and you may still do it today, I don't know. You know, you've been on a bridge and you put a stick in the water on one side and you wait for it to come through the other side. Why does that happen? Because water is passing under the bridge and is taking the stick along with it. This might be too deep for some of you, but just pray for revelation and you'll get it, right? So the stick goes under the bridge because the water passes under the bridge. Now, the great revelation is this. That water that passed under the bridge will never return. It's gone. And so you see, the scripture says, all your troubles are water that's passed under the bridge. It's water that's passed by. You stand, you don't even need a bridge. You stand by a river and you see the flow of water going down to the estuary, going down to the sea, that water will never return. Even if the tide comes in, it'll be different water, in case any of you are trying to be clever. But the water you see passing you will never return. Trouble has gone. That trouble was yesterday or last week or last month or last year or 5 years ago. It's got nothing to do with today. So you take no thought of tomorrow, but still you don't look back. Why look back on what has gone? What has gone no longer exists. It's history. And what is history doesn't have to impact you now if you regard it as history. Say, right, well, that has no influence on me now because it's past trouble. Hallelujah. And Jesus promised that in the world I would have trouble. that promise has been fulfilled in my life and it being fulfilled in yours. I've had lots and lots of trouble, but always it always ends in victory. Yeah, always ends in victory. Because the trouble passes by, but Jesus doesn't pass by. He's with you forever. So praise God. I'm believing this, Lord. I don't know about the others. So you will surely forget your trouble, recalling it only as water's gone by. Life will be brighter than noonday. Now it says that only the British will go out in the noonday sun. To sunbathe. You go to some countries and it's too hot in the middle of the day, but bring it on, Lord, bring it on. But the sunbathing is a good activity. Now, the great thing is that this is when the sun is at its height. This is the brightest time of the day. And rather than just being concerned about past troubles or even present troubles, he says, life, your life, not just your feelings, but your life will be brighter than noonday. You see, actually, the truth is this. Although we experience trouble, we are trouble-free. Unless you allow the trouble to trouble you. Unless you allow the trouble to get to you. You know, when it gets to you, then your confidence is undermined. But why should we allow trouble to undermine our confidence? This is when we rise up in faith and we say, no, that trouble is not going to trouble me. I mean, emotionally, we might react in that way, but then that's when your faith kicks in and you rise up above the trouble. Say, no, 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 no. My life is not going to be conditioned by the negative circumstances. My life is conditioned by Jesus, by who he is, what he says, and what he has done for me, and the fact that he is present with me now, right in this situation. So I'm rising up above the situation. And as I do that, I will see his supernatural intervention. I will see his grace. I will see the noonday sun. That, you know, what might have appeared to be like a troublesome cloud, that passes away just as the water passes away. And what I'm left with is this brilliant noonday sun. And then, of course, you're just filled with thanksgiving. Oh, Lord, so great. You just saw me through all that stuff. You know, when you have to go through it, it's not pleasant, isn't it? But the point is that he brings you through to that place. The darkness, and we go through those dark times, all of us, don't we? That's the tribulation, that's the troublesome time. But the darkness will become like morning. And that's the great thing. You can learn a lot from the daily cycle in nature. You can guarantee, when you live here, rather than in one of the poles, that every night will be succeeded by a new morning. Amen? We don't live in those areas where it's dark continuously for 6 months in the year. That's really depressing. Oh, I once stayed with a couple that were brought up. This is right in the very north of Canada, where it's dark continuously for 6 months, and then of course it's light continuously. But they were saying how terrible it is, because as children you can't go out to play for 6 months. So you have to find all your activities in the home, in the house. You can't go out to play in the dark. It's very cold anyway. The suicide rate is very high in areas like that, because people get so depressed, 6 months of darkness. But praise God, we don't live there. And we certainly don't live in 6 months of spiritual darkness. Right? Even if you have to go through a period of time when, you know, it seems that for a few days, weeks or whatever, there's great trouble, you know a dawn is coming. And you know the dawn will be followed by the noonday sun. When everything will be so bright, so new, so shiny, so glorious, because that's God's way. Hallelujah. So what will be the outcome of that? Well, verse 18, you will be secure because there is hope. God's been talking to us this term about hope and how our hope is indeed secure. Isn't it good to be secure? Yes. Isn't it good to know you're safe in the arms of Jesus? That nothing can happen to you without him knowing. And actually, when you go through a difficult time, remember that. Remember that not only does God know that you're going through that difficult time, he also knew that you would have to go through that time before it ever happened. Now, that doesn't mean that all that happens to us is his best and finest will, because we live in a world of darkness. We live in a world where there's a whole lot of things that can come against us. But still, at the same time, you see, God knew that we would go through that, but he also knows what's on the other side of that. And he knows that that time of darkness isn't going to end in calamity, it's going to end in victory. Why? Because in the darkness, you trust in him. You don't just trust in him when it's noonday sun. In fact, you only get to the noonday sun because you trusted him in the darkness. And that's so important when it comes to prayer and worship. You know, if you go through a period of time when you find it difficult to pray, and sometimes it seems that it's lost its reality, it's lost its power, lost that sort of sense of really the nearness of the presence of the Lord. If you ever go through a period of time, you know what you need to do? Just keep praying. Because actually, that is mere emotion. But it makes no difference to the fact that God is hearing you. God knows what he's doing. God is going to work out his purpose in you. Sometimes those periods of time are a test to see whether you will go on praying or whether you will give up. You remember that in the introduction to the parable that Jesus taught about the unjust judge, it says that Jesus taught this parable to teach the people that they should always pray and not give up. You see, what does the enemy want you to do? He wants you to give up. No. I'm not giving up. I'm keeping going. Amen? So, you will be secure because there is hope. You will look about you and take your rest in safety. It's good, isn't it, that you can go to sleep at night without anything to fear, knowing you're absolutely secure, knowing that tomorrow and the day after and the day after that is in the Lord's hands, because you're in his hands. Amen. And you know the other scripture, that he knows the plans he has for you, plans for welfare, for your good, for welfare, not for evil. Yes? Sometimes we have to wait for his plan. Have you discovered that? Sometimes we get all worried because we don't know what his plan is. But I said, just be patient, just trust me. I know the plans I have for you. They're plans for your welfare. They're plans for blessing, not for curse. Amen? Well, I believe it, Lord. So you will lie down and no one to make you afraid. Confidence, even when you sleep. You go to bed confident, you wake up confident. Amen. You don't have to go to bed with, oh God, thank God today's over. No. Thank you, Jesus. And all things we're giving thanks. Because this is the will of God for us in Christ Jesus. So even if it's been a difficult day, thank you, Lord, you brought me through this difficult day. Yes. And thank you, Lord, that I can lay down now and have a good, peaceful, restful sleep. You see, when you lack your confidence, you begin to fear. And when you begin to fear, you find it difficult to sleep. Why? Because you toss and turn trying to work it all out. And God sees us tossing and turning, trying to work it out. He says, why don't you trust me? Sometimes, you know, we think, yeah, I trust the Lord, but I've still got to worry about it. And, you know, the Lord says, why? If you're trusting me, what is there to fear? Well, Lord, I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know. Of course you don't know, but I do. And if you trust me, then you trust me that it's going to have a good outcome. Oh, Lord, but can't you see what's happening? Can't you see what they're saying? Can't you see what they're doing? Can't you see the opposition? Can't you see the persecution? Can't you see? Yes, I can see it. I can also see the noonday sun. I can also see the water passing under the bridge. I can also see your troubles passing away. So that you will be secure. Amen? So you will lie down with no one to make you afraid. Now, look at this. The end of verse 19. And many will court your favor. Why is that? Because, you see, they will say that your attitude to the adversity, to the difficulties and everything that you pass through is such an example that the favor of God must rest upon you. And if the favor of God is upon you, other people think, I want a bit of that action. I want to find favor with those who are in the favor of God. You know, as I move around and often hear people phone their letters and so on, they want me to pray for them. Why do they want me to pray for them and not, you know, someone in their own church or family or somewhere, wherever they are? Because they think I'm someone who has the favor of God. Therefore, if I pray for them, the favor of God will come upon them. Well, if that's what they believe, that's what will happen. Right? Because according to your faith, it will be done to you. But the point is that people need to see, to understand, that the favor of God is upon you. So, as you go back to your home churches in the next 2 or 3 weeks, you know there's going to be all kinds of opportunities, especially for some of you. Not just to speak, but to pray for people. They're going to think, oh, you've been to Rafi. Perhaps you're carrying something of God's favor. Would you pray for me? And if you're wise, you will say, yes, certainly. You won't say, oh, you don't need me to pray for you. Because actually they do. At that moment, they do need you to pray for them. Because what they believe is you're carrying something of the favor of God. See? And that's important. If that's what they think, then they can receive rather than just have their best friend pray for them. Can you understand this? And so this is a wonderful, wonderful promise. Many will court your favor. Many will want the kind of favor that is upon your life. But just for a moment, forget the many and get hold of the truth that because of all these things that the speaker has already said, God's favor will be upon you. What does that mean in practice? It means His grace will be abounding in your life. Somebody thought hallelujah, but one actually said it. Hallelujah. Praise God. It's a wonderful scripture, isn't it? Because it encapsulates so much. Now, of course, if we put it in its context, this is one of Job's comforters, and Job's needs were finally met, not through the advice of others, but through trusting in the Lord Himself. And so that's what we always need to understand, that all these things are true because of our faith relationship with Jesus. Amen. But this is a great scripture. I'm going to use it in the book that I'm writing at present about Reformation, because it encapsulates so much just in a few verses. So praise God. Are you confident?
Yes.
And you see, one of the things you have to learn is to allow your confidence to overcome your fears. Fear not, for I am always with you. This is, for me, a very important subject, because when I was young, I was a very, very fearful person. You know, when I was ordained, tucked into the pocket of my cassock, the thing I had to wear when I was ordained, was that scripture, God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. But the point is this, that if you trust the Lord, you will overcome your fears. Fear is natural. Trust is in the supernatural, life and power of God. And the supernatural is above the natural, is much greater than the natural, and overcomes the natural. Are we getting this? So I think this is wonderful. I think it's a great word for us to sort of take into these, not just these 2 or 3 weeks when you're going to be at home, but going to launch us into what God is going to do during the first week of next term. He was talking to me during the night about what He's going to do in the first week of next term, so I'm looking forward to the beginning of next term. It's going to be a great time. We're going to come back full of expectation that God is going to take us on beyond anything that we've known this term. Mm-hmm. You know, the second term, those of you in the first year, be glad to know, the second term is always the most difficult. First term, you know, God sort of gives you a revelation. Second term, He starts to take you apart and deal with you and deal with all kinds of issues and confront you with all kinds of things. Then in the third term, He puts you back together again. But you're different because of the way He's dealt with you during the second term. So just be encouraged. Hallelujah. That's what happens every year. So let's all stand, shall we? Praise God. Hallelujah. Come on, let's lift our hands and voices and hearts and begin to praise Him. Our confidence is in Him. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Yes. Behold, I make all things new. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. Since you are precious and honored in my sight, and because I love you, I will give men in exchange for you and people in exchange for your life. So do not be afraid, for I am with you. Hallelujah. Come on, let's really praise Him. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Purata paria letto bacala sita di sandum. O paparia letto bacala sita di sandum. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Pura la basata paria letto bacala sita di sandum. Boparazara balanda. Now praise Him that you're an overcomer. Yes, in the world you will have trouble, but you're an overcomer. Hallelujah. So you overcome the trouble. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord. I have nothing to fear because you are with me. Praise your holy name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Yes. Thank you, Jesus. Yes. Wonderful, Lord. Yes. Porra taparia letto bacala sita di sandoma. O paparia letto bacala sita di sandoma. I am coming soon. Hold on to what you have so that no one will take your crown. Him who overcomes, I will make a pillar in the temple of my God. Never again will he leave it. I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which is coming down out of heaven from my God. And I will also write on him my new name. Thank the Lord that you're an overcomer. No one's going to take your crown. Praise you, Jesus. You're going to be like a pillar in the temple of the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. A pillar is not just something that supports the roof. A pillar is on the pillar is written all the great things that God has done in your life. Hallelujah. It's like a testimony of the goodness of God in your life. You will be like a pillar. There'll be a pillar in the temple of the Lord, and on that pillar all the great and wonderful things God has done for you. So come on, just lift your heart and really praise Him. Hallelujah. Nobody's going to steal that crown. Your crown's not going to fall off. You're not going to walk through life with fear, with shame, with disgrace. Thank God for his blood. Thank him for his mercy. Thank him that you can lift your head now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's no shame for you. Jesus has taken your sin. He's taken your guilt. He's taken your shame. He's taken your fear. He's taken all the negatives to the cross. He's nailed those things to the cross. He's put them to death. He's delivered you from them. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Pura la basata paria leraba calasito di sanduma. Oh, paparia leraba calasito di sanduma. Oh, paparia leraba calasito. Thank him that all your troubles are past. They're like that water that has passed away. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. They're never going to revisit me. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Pura taparia leraba calasito di sanduma. Oh, paparia leraba calasito di sandaria leraba calasito ma. Oh, thank you, thank you, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Jesus. Oh, what a mighty God, what a mighty Lord. How I praise you, how I bless you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Jesus. Purata parazata paria letuba. Oh, thank you, Lord, that our life will be like the noonday sun. Yes, 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 yes. We'll be living in the streams of your glory, of your light, of your truth. Thank you, Lord, that people will even look to us for favor because they will see your favor is upon us. Thank you, Lord, that despite everything, your favor is upon us. Your favor is upon me. Your favor is upon each one of us here. Thank you that favor enables us to overcome, but then enables us to help others to overcome. Thank you, Lord, that in these coming weeks there's going to be opportunities not only for us to overcome, but to help others to overcome. Thank you that when we pray for people, they're going to overcome their sicknesses and diseases and the things that have afflicted them. Thank you, Lord, that we are going to speak faith into the lives of people. That we're going to have the confidence that will be contagious. That other people will catch our confidence. Hallelujah. Because they will see that our confidence is not in ourselves, but our confidence is in you. And we give you all the glory. We give you all the honor. We give you all the praise. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. Now just speak it over your life, that I'm not a fearful person, I'm a confident person. I'm a confident person. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. Pura taparia leto bakala sita di sanduma. O paparia leto bakala sita di sanduma. Pura taparia leto bakala sita di sanduma. Now we've got our victory in prayer meeting this evening. We're going to come to that prayer meeting with confidence, right? We're going to pray with confidence. It's going to be an overcoming meeting, right? Whatever we pray about is going to be overcome in the power of God. Come on, let's just pray now for that anointing of the Holy Spirit. God will touch the hearts of people today, encouraging more and more to come, because it's going to be such a powerful time in God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We praise you, Lord. We praise you that we're going to establish the victories that we will then see outworked. And we give you the glory, honor, and praise. Thank you that none of our prayer will be motivated by fear, but only motivated by faith. Hallelujah. Purata paria letuba. Thank you, Lord, that you give us the authority to determine what will happen. Amen. That we have the authority to bind what is not of your purpose and to release what is of your purpose. And thank you that we're going to come to that meeting this evening with that determination, with that faith, with that confidence that we can prevent what is not your will and we can release what is your will. So we give you glory, Jesus. Hallelujah. No matter what situations we're praying about, that principle will surely be outworked. Come on, let's give God all the glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Jesus. Yes, 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 yes. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Now, just before we finish, thank him that you don't have to fear the future. Right? Your hope means that you look to the future with confident expectation. Hallelujah. Not with fear of, oh, I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know what God wants me to do after Rafi or anything like that. No, no, no. Come on. You are a confident person. Hallelujah. You're a faithful person. You're a child of God. Hallelujah. He knows the plans that he has for you, plans for your welfare, not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. Hallelujah. He sets before you life and death, blessing and curse. Choose life that you may live. Hallelujah. Choose the blessing, not the curse. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you, Lord. So we cut off all that sin that would try to undermine our faith. We cut off those things. We will not allow anything into our house, into our atmosphere, into the... We're creating a faith atmosphere in which we're going to live for the rest of our days. Hallelujah. And thank you, Lord, that others are going to find that that faith atmosphere is contagious and that they're going to catch it. Hallelujah. Praise your wonderful name. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. That faith atmosphere is always positive. Always positive. No matter what happens, always positive. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Jesus. Oh, yes, 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 yes. Praise you, praise you, praise you, Jesus. To him who overcomes and does my will to the end, I will give authority over the nations. Oh, boy, come on, if you're going to have authority over the nations... What about the little problems that confront you now? I mean, they're nothing, are they? Little molehills compared to the mountains. So, hallelujah, we bless you, Lord. We praise and thank you. Oh, we give you all the glory. You are so good. Thank you that nothing in the whole of creation can separate us from that love. Bless your wonderful and holy name. Come on, let's give him a great big shout of praise. Hallelujah. Yes, 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 yes. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Jesus. Can any good things come out of Job? Yes, lots of them. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.